Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
You are very welcome to Winners and Sinners with Off the Balls, Gerard Gilroy, and today FM's Alison Curtis. Hello to you both.
Hello.
Happy Friday.
Happy Christmas party day.
Happy Christmas party
day. Is it too early to be saying happy Christmas?
No.
No, you're okay.
If the party day is today, you're going, obviously.
Well, I'm in my Christmas jumper.
Oh, I do like that jumper. Yeah, it's a cool take. It's a cool take on a Christmas jumper for people who can't see Gerry right now. He's wearing a green jumper with a graphic print of a stag.
Exactly, yeah. Is it Irish? No, Sutsu. Oh, yeah. I don't think they're Irish. I wish it was, but...
It's cool. It's cool. Jer's looking cool this evening. Anyhow, Jer.
Like the poor stag that had his head chopped off in the park.
Oh, yeah, not cool. Worst story of the week's awful. Let me go with your winner this week. And your winner this week is Emmett Kerwin, who wrote a piece in the paper about dog poo.
This is very tangential. You know, regular listeners to this will know, I sometimes struggle to find something that fits into the category of winner or sinner. Really, this is just an excuse to talk about dogs and how great they are.
Yes.
But also to give out to people who... do pick up the dog poo and leave it in the bag, but not in the bin.
So specifically, what was it about this piece? Because we all know dog poo is a general annoyance. What was it about this piece, Jerry, that caught your attention?
I think that if you do go to the trouble of bringing the poo bag with you and then scooping up the poo into the poo bag, but then not putting it in the bin, it's that final bit that's just like a... What did you even bother doing the first two steps of that?
So what was Emmett Kerwin saying people are doing with it? Shoving it into a bush?
Oh, into a bush, yeah. Into
the plastic bush, bag, the poo bag, into a bush.
You know, like the poo tree. Everybody knows about the poo tree.
No. No. Some of us don't know about the poo tree. What are you talking about?
It reminds me of the giggler treatment. Roddy Doyle's book is all about dog poo. Did you ever read that to the kids?
No.
Anyway, as a side, it's quite funny, but also has that undertone of this is crap, literally. But at least in your area, they're picking it up. In mine, which I've recently discovered because I had a dog who passed away in May, and then I got another one four weeks ago. So I've started to walk with her a lot more, obviously. I've realized it's even worse now. It's just literally everywhere and they're not picking it up. So you're slip sliding all over the place. It's disgusting.
That
it's
is disgusting.
For people having dinner. Yeah.
You see, when I see dog poo, I like to reassure myself that this is a dog that is a stray dog that just, you know, plays out in the front garden and went for a walk and did a poo. It's not that its owner was with it.
A baddie.
And baddie and just decided to leave it on the ground for people to walk through.
It's always a baddie.
For you to push your pram through. But the throwing it in the bush in the bag.
That's the worst.
That's a baddie.
Yeah, they're the baddies. We have a situation where once every 2 or 3 weeks, there's about... 4 houses outside our house, and I think it is some kind of weird stray who just has this incident.
Yeah.
And so every 2 or 3 weeks, you come out of the house and you're like, oh, here we go. It's a slalom to try and avoid it. And then you just wait
for
the rain.
Do you ever see the stray dog?
No, never. I've never seen it.
So the phantom.
It
could be a fox.
It's too big for fox, the texture and the consistency.
Oh my God. And I really do apologize to you if you are listening to this while you try and munch down on something.
It makes my blood boil, though, so much to see it on the ground. It's just, to me, it's arrogant.
Would you pick up someone else's dog poo?
No, I don't think I would.
Like, I've done it if it's gone into my yard.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Or in front of the house or near a neighbor's house. But it's just pure ignorance. It's just like, I don't need to do this. I'm above it. It's like, no, if you get the dog, you deal with the poo. Nobody likes it, but you deal with it.
Yeah. Not to come across all Malcolm from Middle England here, but I am actually considering getting a power washer just so I can fix the 3 and 4 houses outside. I'm like...
are you trying to tell me that you're a man of a certain age without a power washer?
Yes.
Jer, that's one of the greatest
€120
you can invest.
Do you have one?
Yes. I don't use it. My husband uses it. But I think,
you love it.
Oh my God, what it can do to our patio. It'll put such a smile on your face. You'll never be indoors.
Get one.
Sounds like you're very into it.
I was. It's kind of life changing. Do you think,
for your relationship,
this issue, right, with people either not picking up their dog poo or picking up their dog poo, and I think it's kind of worse than just shoving the bag into a bush for somebody else to then have to, you know, pick up and put into a bin. Do you think it speaks to wider societal attitudes that we have about, you know, common decency,
public spaces?
Is it in the same realm as just, you know, people who litter or people who you know, don't let people reverse out of driveways onto busy roads? These are some of my own personal grievances. You know, have we become
crime.
A bit more selfish?
So, like, not to go in Canada, but it is a little bit of civic pride. And it's kind of like, look, there's messy places there too, and there's messy people everywhere. But it's a little bit more like, this is my responsibility, like do-gooders almost there. And it's like in public parks, you wouldn't see, or let's say the day at the beach and the bins are full, people just leave it all around the bins. You just wouldn't really see that as often.
Would you not?
People are like, I'd kind of be a bad guy if I did that, like kind of thing. Basically the attitude they have in general.
Would somebody say it to you? You know, if you were seen leaving your rubbish at the beach, even if it is in a bag, binned up beside the bin, they would say, sorry, excuse me.
Take that with you.
Yeah. You see, we wouldn't do
now
that
you
here.
Get stabbed here, yeah. Look, we're dirty pigs. What can we say?
We are
dirty pigs. We are a small portion. But you go to any European city and it's always clean. It's like the first thing you remark on is like, something's wrong. The streets are clean. How did that happen?
I have to say, I haven't worked in the city centre in nearly 15 years. I live close to the city centre, but I don't spend that much time in it. I am obviously now coming into News Talk on a daily basis for the hard shoulder coming into the city centre.
Yeah.
And I cannot believe how dirty it is.
It's not great.
It's not great. It's not awful, but there is a slight grubbiness. I'm sorry, it is there. I see it more and more.
I think maybe we didn't invest enough in street cleaners, and then we don't have the culture of calling people out for littering, and the litter campaigns are all a little bit like
softly
effective. Like the swirly eye dog poo ad, unfortunately, just isn't effective. like people are like, my kid's not really going to get swirly eyes for touching this.
No, maybe
it just needs to be a bit more like the fines, like enforce it. A few of those fines going out and making them really high, people might go, "Hey,
yeah, proper litter wardens." This was supposed to be an excuse to talk about Alison's new dog.
Oh yeah,
What did you get, Alison?
A collie, another collie. Like to have it high.
That's a real dog.
High anxious person like myself, basically. Her personality matches me.
Do you have a dog, Jer?
Yeah.
What kind of a dog is it?
It was supposed to be a half lab, half whippet, and then we got it home and it was full collie as well. So
they look quite similar, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Okay, and does it reflect your personality?
I have to say, like, it's only in the last, so we have her 2 and a bit years now. It's only recently where I've kind of decided, okay,
I like you.
You can stay. up to that. She had all the furniture, she had everything. She's stopped eating stuff and now I'm the only one who walks her, really. I mean, my wife does a bit, but...
Were you responding to an ask from your children?
Oh, it was, yeah.
Completely, because we're coming under that pressure. I'm under that pressure right now.
Yeah.
It was the last question last night before my youngest fell asleep.
It would, and...
Collies are a lot of work. Like, I mean, I'm glad that I had to have her again because I'm starting to resemble less of a potato and I'm actually walking like 12 to 14,000 steps a day again.
It is very good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all sorts of like the... You're lying on the couch, stressed, and then no one comes and says hello to you anymore when you get home, right? Oh. I mean, our kids are still probably young enough.
Yeah, 4 and 6. They still really like me.
Yeah,
I know my days are numbered.
Like,
enjoy for the next 6 years.
The clock is tick, tick, ticking.
Oh, I've got 6 years. Okay, that's more than I expected.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're getting waylaid. What is your winner this week, Alison?
Derry City. So, woo-hoo. So I'd never been, despite having a colleague, one of the first people I worked here with in Ireland was from Derry. But I was asked by Discover Northern Ireland to go up and do tourism for a couple of days. First time away on my own in a long time as well, which was quite a great experience.
No wonder you liked it.
But again, speaking of clean, I felt like it was extremely clean. Great pub culture, great restaurants. Went to two in particular that were outstanding. You probably know them, do you? Brown and Town?
Yes, of course.
Oh my God. Great vegetarian menu. And then I just couldn't get over how modern parts of the city were as well. And again, talking about steps, I did about 17,000 steps the first day I was there. Did the wall tour, went to the Freedom of Derry. Actually...
The museum.
Yeah. And feel, this might sound corny, but you actually feel like, and I believe in nothing, I need science, but you feel the spirits of it all. Like, you really feel the history there, and had a great tour there. It's very emotional. I think it's an essential part of visiting Derry. And I just loved it. I'm definitely going to go back. And I feel like it would be good for a family trip. And I also have planned a girls' trip there. So I think it's well worth visiting.
Have you been to Northern Ireland before?
Loads.
Okay.
I love Halloween as well. And like, Derry's the Halloween capital. And I can't believe I've never been in 25 years of living in Ireland. So.
Yeah, well, I have to say, it's something I still notice here living in Dublin. I'm here longer than I ever lived in Donegal.
Yeah.
It still shocks me how many people have never visited Northern Ireland. And this maybe reluctance to visit Northern Ireland, or the sense that you're going somewhere that's very different. You know, I find that hard. I'm in and out of the north all the time.
The red, white and blue curbstones, you mean?
Well, maybe it is that, even though that's not Northern Ireland. It's parts of it, yes, but it's not all of it. But it's a...
I found it very welcoming, and the Guild Hall is incredible as a building.
Beautiful building.
Oh my God, that room I walked into going, I've never been seen something so beautiful in my life. Like, I cannot recommend it enough. I loved it. I felt like I was walking around on my own all day long, all evening as well, and I had to cross the Peace Bridge, went to a restaurant there, came back to the hotel, felt completely safe. Like, and I was on my own and felt completely safe.
Yeah, I would feel safe. What do you think? Do we embrace Northern Ireland enough, do you think?
No.
Should we embrace it more? Yeah. You look a bit sceptical there, Ger.
Well, I just think that it's been really interesting to watch the conversation about United Ireland and how we need to start planning for it to prevent a Brexit-style bit, which is a total change in the conversation from like, oh, it's never going to happen. Why even talk about that? And now it's like, it's become this kind of thing which feels somewhat inevitable, but it'll only be inevitable if actually there are proper conversations had, some plans put in place. And there'll always be a cohort of people who will tell you it can never happen for economic reasons. And I don't know, just I think that like the more people, the more, I think even having the train go every hour up and down, like, oh, we don't need this. And then it's actually, more people are going.
To connect Dublin and Belfast.
Belfast, great.
Yeah, Belfast is a great city.
It is.
Bushmills Hotel, one of my favourite hotels in the whole of Ireland. Ballintoy Harbour, Carrickmacross Bridge. Like, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really, really beautiful. I wish more people would travel up to the north, and maybe northerners to travel down throughout the Republic. They
wouldn't
do
it be great if
it could
be like this all the time, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe I'm just a big Northwest softy, so I am. All right, let's leave it there for now. I am so happy that you have picked this, Ger, as your sinner of the week, because I only got the opportunity to talk about it for 14 minutes with Simon Tierney in our How to Write a Love Letter slot this week. And do you know what? It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. There's so much more to say. RFK and his alleged erotic poetry. Tell us the story, first of all.
So the story is tangled and chaotic. And it stretches back to there's a power couple of American journalists who have been kind of in the vanguard over the last 5-6 years of reporting on politics in America. And they were an item and they were engaged. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of the last presidential campaign, one of them was detailed to do a profile of Robert Kennedy Jr. I don't know if anybody's been paying any attention to Robert Kennedy Jr., but the man's absolutely mad, right?
Yeah.
Half his brain got eaten by a worm. That was his excuse in a divorce deposition. And now he's the most important health person in all of the United States. He's in Donald Trump's cabinet. But so this reporter, his name is Olivia Nuzzi. I haven't actually heard the pronunciation of it, so I've only been reading about this. It could be Nuzzi, Nuzzi, I don't know. You know, this stuff writes itself. She fell under his spell, is how the story is. Initially he grabbed her arm and she was scared. But then over a period of time, he started to love bomb her, and their relationship blossomed to the point where he was writing poetry. You used the word erotic about it.
Filthy, maybe. Would that be better?
Yeah, man. I was planning on reading some of it, and then I read it back, and I was like, "You can't."
No,
we're getting like a bomb would go off if you were to read this stuff.
Do you know those people who were eating their dinner who were probably feeling a little bit nauseous while we were talking about dog poo? Those people would actually now be sick if you read out the erotic poetry.
It's not
the filthy poetry,
flowery anyway.
No. You can kind of look at. I know people are just Googling this on their phone right now.
Oh, you have to.
And I would recommend it.
So her ex-partner, Ryan Lietza and Nuzzi, they were the couple.
Mm-hmm.
So Ryan Lietza has leaked all this stuff in a Substack post. She has a book coming out where she details what happened, and he decided to get his side of the story out. Very tangled story between the two of them going back, and but yeah, I mean, did you know? Do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yes.
You know Cheryl? Cheryl's married to RFK Jr. Did you know that?
No.
No.
I knew he was married.
Yeah, to Cheryl from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh.
Larry's ex.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's like, she has a book coming out too. But you're quite agog there reading back some of the...
I am, sorry. And once again, for the second time this week, Googling RFK Jr.'s erotic... poetry. I'm just trying to find a line that we can read out that isn't going to
I don't know if you'll
make people
it.
Crash their car. Okay, we're going to keep looking. We will get it for you. Is this something, do you think, that needs, you know, kind of a somber analysis?
Well, the answer,
or do you just want to have a good laugh over it? Because the Yanks aren't happy.
Full of the somber analysis. Well, actually, really, you know, all you can do about this stuff is laugh. There's a brilliant piece on The Ringer by a journalist called Brian Phillips, which I would recommend reading it. It's like inside the most important and also least important story of our time. And that is the only way to do it. But yeah.
Yeah.
Would you do this? Do you ever engage in a love letter?
Which bit? You better finish that sentence.
Yeah, sorry, not the affair. Not the affair. Let's just be clear.
I'm just not a fan of poetry to begin with. I'm such a whatever.
Philistine.
What's the word? Yeah. So even with the studying this past week that our children had to do, I was like, ugh. So I don't know if making it more like his would spice things up and may pique my interest. I don't know. I don't think so.
Where do you think this will all go for him? Like, is there a sense of
shame
for him? Do you think, like, will he have to come out
Look
and address
what Trump's
it?
Done and he's fine.
I think everybody's just going to laugh and move on. Yeah. Like, as he literally poisons America over the last couple of weeks, they're like, oh, you can use forever chemicals in your food. It doesn't matter. It really does matter.
Yeah. Is there something particularly, I suppose, ick about a politician doing something like this? Like, if it was a celebrity or an actor or the lead singer of a band, would we be less put off by it? I keep thinking about the former justice minister. Do you remember Alan Chatter? And he wrote that erotic fiction, and people were aghast over it. And like, why shouldn't he be able to write that as anybody else? So is there a problem because he's a politician?
Maybe if it was any good, wouldn't he?
Is it a problem because it wasn't to his wife?
Well, so that should be the first problem, obviously. there's obviously a significant age difference. It's 71, 31, I think, is the...
Is he 71?
He's 71, yeah. He looks good for 71, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's looking after himself. Thank God he's running the health system.
Oh my God, I don't know. I think that if it had been like brilliant wordsmithery, you get away with it. Like if he was a brilliant lyricist, I think that the ick comes from the fact that it's 71, 31, that...
It was an affair.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. It's just,
but, and we just don't need to see that stuff.
Well, just the imagery that he uses is so like if a teenage boy was to write this, you'd be like, you know, like here's some books you need to read them. You need to learn.
Yes, because it's kind of about their lovemaking or his desired lovemaking.
Yeah,
with
and
her.
The imagery was like canyon and
river,
water and
Oh God,
that's really bad. Do you ever send your wife sort of a loving message? You know, a little poem.
Pick up some toilet paper,
little,
please.
Yeah.
I'm 48. What is it?
I know, but you're together, you know, a long time. Do you ever just think, I'm going to take a moment here and I'm going to send her something nice just to let her know I'm thinking of her today? I'm not talking about, you know, in the vein of, I am your canyon. You are my river, whatever it
Whoa.
Was. Okay,
you
it's Friday and I think
on.
We need to wrap up this week. Okay, move over. What's your sitter this week, Allison?
I think I can follow that. Black Friday. So
today.
Yeah. So I
What have you bought, Allison?
Nothing. So my email, I woke up and I was like, oh my God, I didn't think I was subscribed to all these things. It was like all these Black Friday messages. So we know the history of it. It started in Philadelphia in the 1950s, and it was like basically police officers calling it that because everybody
I didn't know
crushing
that.
Themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically Thanksgiving is late in America. because they're silly. Like, why have it that close to Christmas? Whatever, do it in October instead or not at all. And so basically the sales went on, the start of Christmas, blah, blah, blah. So obviously there's a big movement that started, I think it was around 2007, Green Monday, which is the second Monday in December, which is encouraging more sustainable buying. There's also, of course, madelocal.ie. People can check that out. And there's 1,400 suppliers of Irish-made products. So you could do that. So about 6 years ago, I started one Christmas going, I'm going to try and buy like 50% from a small independent business. And then it just, the next year, I was like, I could do this. I could do 75%. I could do, children is harder. I'm going to say that it is harder. Like a lot of the kids' stuff, especially under 10s, like obviously the big retailers will win out there. But for partners, for friends, like there's so many like household stuff, clothing, whatever, candles, whatever, if you're, you know, office presents, whatever you want. So it's good to go local. So that's why Black Friday kind of, it's just, it's too much. Especially waking up to all those mails this morning. I was like,
Is it? The consumerism of it? The fact that it's sort of big businesses that can afford it? The stress and pressure?
A lot of pressure on people to actually be able to, you know, get those things on that day. And just mass consumerism. Like, we know that's just not good for anybody, the planet or ourselves. I'm sorry to be poo-pooing on a Friday of a Black Friday. But, you know, you could do Small Business Saturday or Green Monday and you'd still find lovely things to buy for everyone you love in your life.
At the same price. See, what attracts people here is, I think,
price.
The idea of the price, right? And everything is so expensive in Ireland. It is coming up to Christmas. You feel you've lots to buy. And
so the whole idea is to buy
less. You want to make a saving. You want to buy less, but you still have to make a purchase.
Yeah.
So this allows you to make a purchase at a greatly reduced price. I suppose that's why people are attracted to it, isn't they?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. But it made me consider, if I buy from this person, that's directly helping them continue with their business, which is good for Irish economy.
No, totally. And for all of us.
And I did buy less. So other than with little bits for my daughter from a business that I don't like to support, but she likes all those things there, you know, other than that, I was able to get most things from small businesses.
Yeah. And I think it always feels when you get that kind of present, like it's really considered.
And you're going to keep it. Forever.
Yeah, I like when somebody buys me, I think, okay, somebody's actually gone and really searched that out for me and I like sort of what it represents
exactly
when I get it as a present. Yeah. Have you bought anything, Ger?
My problem isn't so much Black Friday. I was at Joanne McNally recently. She was talking about drunk shopping and two days ago I got this load of stuff off Pulp's website. Three t-shirts, a poster.
Are you talking about Pulp the band?
Yes.
Was this a late night?
Totally. My problem is I cannot resist stuff on Instagram after a few drinks. Like, it's too easy.
Have you got your card on your phone so you just hit the
old...
Of
course I do.
Yeah. That's a disaster.
You're not alone in that.
Apparently not.
No.
We're like,
well, you know what you should be
mark.
Doing? Writing your lovely wife some erotic fiction, erotic poetry after a few drinks. See,
Jerry? Paper.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with Winners and Sinners right after this.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
You're very welcome back to Winners and Sinners with Alison Curtis and Jer Gilroy. Now, you have both chosen as your sort of final thing of note this week, TV series. Yours is Severance and yours is Stranger Things.
Yes.
Why Severance, Jer?
We took ages and ages and ages to get to the second season and started watching it. It was far too confusing. So we went back and watched the whole of the first season again, and that was exactly the right thing to do because the first season is like very, I don't know, have you seen it?
No, I'm not mentally stable enough to watch it. So I saw two episodes and I was like, this is going to drive me demented. But my husband likes it.
Well, it certainly watching it the second time, we're like, okay, this all makes sense. Because you get to the end and stuff makes sense retrospectively. Like, okay.
Adam Scott's great. He's
so
great
what
actor.
Is it about?
Oof.
You're mine.
This does not sound like the program for me, Jer.
So the premise is that work-life balance doesn't really exist unless you have this chip implanted in your brain and you go to work, you cross a threshold, and from that point on, what happens after you cross the threshold is contained within there, and then you come home and you don't remember anything that happened to work.
Joyful.
A new bit of technology that has come out, and it's obviously controversial, but it's like the most expensive TV show in history.
Is it?
Yeah, Apple TV, and Ben Stiller is the director.
But everything is just white. It's just a white background. There's no set.
Yeah. It's it does show up as time goes on. It's like, anyway.
And why do you like it so much? Why would you choose to watch that over anything else?
It is proper escapism in that, like, you can't be on the phone checking scores. Because if you're like, oh shit, what happened there? What is,
okay.
I just have to rewind that and look at that again. So, yeah.
So it's one of those things, if you're going to the fridge to fill up your wine glass, you want to pause it?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is your recommendation?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And the second season is mad. Absolutely mad. So, and I can see how a lot of people would be like, I'm out, but...
And your wife likes it too. I do love, and it doesn't happen that often, that we both find a series that we really like and we're really invested in, and you kind of, I mean, what a sad existence I now have, that you're thinking, I can't wait till Saturday night, get the kids down, cook something nice, and we'll get to watch the rest of that. And that's really enjoyable, and you kind of nearly plan your week over investing in something you're both really enjoying.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds amazing.
Okay, is that all our lives?
It is.
If you have any better plans this weekend, please text us
0870-1400-106
if you have a life. You've chosen Stranger Things.
Oh, I love it so much. So basically, because it is the 80s and everything was better in the 80s, like the clothing, the music, riding around on your bikes, your parents didn't know where you were, they just hoped you came home at night.
Real, or is that just our, rose-tinted glasses view of what our childhood is, that was all very free?
They weren't able to track us.
Yeah, so. We lived in the sticks, it was fine, you could go out and, so long as you came back for food. Town.
But so Stranger Things started, is it 11 years ago now? Well, it's 2016. So I went back about 3 weeks ago and started at season one to watch it all the way through. And I said to my daughter at the time, I was like, why don't you watch it, you little wuss? It's not scary. And then this time around, I was like, oh, it's kind of scary.
So you rewatched all of the series?
I rewatched it all. So,
because you knew the finale was coming
up. Yes. So it started two nights ago. So I still have a few more episodes of season four to go before I jump into season five. So they're releasing it in three parts. So it's the first four episodes was two nights ago. And then on December 25th, they're releasing another three. And then the finale is on New Year's Eve night, which is fine by me because I'm not going to go out. So I'll watch it then. And they are expecting it. Like it crashed. Netflix crashed on the 26th when it started. So it's like, it is such a global phenomenon. And I love it so much. I really do. Because there's like, it's such an ensemble cast. So like, you kind of like everybody, which is unusual when there's that many characters. And it's just, it's pure escapism. Like it is. And you can't look at your phone either because there are things that are happening that you're like, no, if I'm not following that, you know, I have to rewind. So yeah, it's great.
We're talking about it actually yesterday with John Fardy, and he said, if you love it and if you have invested in the four seasons, the first four episodes of the new season will not let you down.
Yeah,
he said it is delivering. And we all agreed that we love the idea of them saving the finale for a big moment like New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
I was talking about The
so
Office.
Clever.
Remember The Office, the two extra episodes that they released at Christmas?
Yeah.
And everybody gathered around the TV in our house to watch it, and it was sort of a communal viewership, and everybody that I knew who loved The Office was doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
I like that kind of old fashioned way of watching television.
Definitely,
actually.
Yeah.
And one of the stars is from Donegal.
Yes. Yeah. She joined season four, I think. Yeah. Love interest of Robin, who is the daughter of Uma Thurman. It's excellent. It's really, really good. The only thing that they keep teasing that like major people are going to not
die.
Yeah. So I don't want to like face that because I've fallen in love with all of them.
And if you had to sort of describe it in a line for people who've never watched it like me, what would you say?
It is like a suspense kind of horror, but it's also a drama and it's hilarious. I can't do it for you. There's a comedy moments as well. You've seen it, haven't you?
Yeah, we did give up on it for some reason.
It is hilarious in points, like properly funny. It's all 80s stuff, like all 80s stuff. So that's why I like it. Dating myself here.
Okay. Alison and Jer, thank you so much for your winners and sinners this week. That is it. On next Friday, Jer is going to read us out his poetry. He promises. That's it from us on The Hard Shoulder. My thanks to the production team here and to you at home for listening. We will be back on Monday at 4 p.m. Have a fab weekend.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hey, Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.